Contracting Officer Podcast. If you work in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Whether you work for government or industry, we're here to help you understand how the other side thinks. Today's episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition Solutions. Skyway helps you know more, do more, and win more in the government market. To learn more, visit skywayacq.com. The topic today covers more about documentation of the government's source selection decision. Let's get started. So is the website different, or is there a new one, or is it what happened with that?
Well, the old website is a forwarder, the skywayacquisition.com. But what we really did is we simplified and shortened the URL to now it's skywayacq.com, and which we updated a whole bunch of stuff on the site, and I figured it was a good time to do that. And as it turns out, it's a lot more complicated than I thought. But, you know, it took us about 2 weeks of tinkering, but now it's shorter, and it saves, 8 characters off of our URL. So,
and somehow, somehow it's actually harder for me to say than acquisition. ACQ does not roll off my tongue any easier, more easily.
In theory, it's easier to spell. The funny thing is that the biggest challenge we had was acquisition was a word that most people, unless they're contract geeks like us, are not used to spelling.
Right, so acquisition's hard to spell. ACQ makes no sense, so it's fine either way.
It's one or the other. Can't have both.
So today we're talking about the Source Selection Evaluation Board report, although it's also called other things in other places.
Like a technical evaluation board. Basically, the situation, I guess we'll, the set the stage concept here, is government teams done all the market research. They came up with their acquisition strategy. They put out the RFP. Got proposals back and tossed out the late ones and went through all the non-compliant issues. And now it's time to actually evaluate the stuff they got, right? And so they need to build a report, a Source Selection Evaluation Board report, or AKA the SSEB is what we used to call it. And so now it's time to see if the RFP actually got us what we wanted. And so that's the session we're going through today.
So even though this thing can have a lot of different names, the basic principle is pretty simple. During the source selection, in order to capture all of the results of the evaluation team is required to somehow document it. So this is a consolidation of all of the evaluator and advisor's comments about strengths and weaknesses. This is the documentation of the ratings that have come out of that evaluation. Ratings, of course, not against proposal, but ratings against the RFP criteria, and this is what they hand over to the source selection authority, they being the evaluation team, hands over to the source selection authority to say, here's the results of our evaluation, now you make a decision. And sometimes they make a recommendation on who they think should win, but sometimes the source selection authority does not want a recommendation, they want to make their own decision.
Yeah, and we have actually a podcast about the source selection decision document. And this is the last step before that decision is documented. And so all of this content is going from the users, the people who we've talked about or evaluating this process, up to that final source selection authority, who then cherry picks the content out of this big report to make that short document we talked about in the source selection decision.
Now it's FAR time. We're talking FAR 305. This is the proposal evaluation part of the FAR. And 305A says, proposal evaluation is an assessment of the proposal and the offer's ability to perform, blah, blah, blah. Relative strengths, deficiencies, significant weaknesses, and risks supporting proposal evaluation shall be documented in the contract file. And that's what we're talking about today. The documentation of the evaluation, the proposal, which we are calling the Source Selection Evaluation Board Report because that's how we learned it. But there's lots of other names for it. I think we've beat that point to death. Don't get me wrong here. This isn't the decision. This isn't the rationale for why someone was selected. That's the source selection decision document that the source selection authority writes. What we're talking about here is this comes from the evaluators themselves, and there's lots of different forms of evaluation teams and councils and all that. But in the end, they have to document what they did somewhere, somehow. And they can only evaluate the proposals based on what they said in the RFP, the factors and sub-factors that they said they're going to evaluate.
And this is where you run into problems where if you didn't put something in the RFP, you can't judge them on it.
Right. You have to think ahead on these things. The evaluation, you're judging them against whatever rating method or combination method of rating methods that you told them you were going to use. So you could rate them with colors or adjectives or numbers, or you could rank them in order. It's whatever you told them, but it's the relative strengths and weaknesses against what you said you were going to evaluate. Now, even though the FAR says evaluations can be conducted using any rating method, many agencies have their own mandatory rating method in their own FAR supplement or in their local agency procedures. So you can use anything you want as long as it's the one they tell you that you have to use.
It's like the Model T. You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Black, yeah.
Well, and so the reason I like to talk about this is that technically the FAR says you can use any of these, and you don't actually have to tell everybody what you're going to use to rate them. However, if you do tell them, you got to stick to it. But to your point is a lot of agencies say, yeah, well, use this one. So if you're working with a specific agency, you can usually tell how they're going to rate you and how they're going to rank you, or whatever the word you want to use for it, in their FAR supplement, because their government folks are actually required to use their process.
Right. And beyond that, you know what the words on the paper, or on your computer screen. You know what those words say about, what they're going to evaluate, how they're going to evaluate. You also, after you've targeted and you know your customers well, you also learn what those words really mean, which, it's shades of what they say. So anyway, we're off topic. Now we're talking about targeting. Let's get back to proposal evaluation. So you're writing this report. So you have to evaluate cost. That's something that's always evaluated, right? And it's documented. It's usually separate from the technical or other evaluations because they don't want to color the technical evaluations' opinions about the technical merits if they already know that this is way too expensive or way too cheap in their mind. So they usually separate that kind of stuff. But what I'm trying to say, unsuccessfully somewhat, is that you have to document the cost.
And one thing to point out in the cost portion of this is that right out of the FAR says normally – competition establishes price reasonableness. So what that means is you don't need a whole lot of cost data or pricing data. You just need their total price.
And competition is what you need.
Yeah. So just we've been foot stomping that a while. And so when somebody says to you, well, you need to have more cost data, you could go to 15305, I think it's A1, and it says cost or price evaluation. And it tells you that price reasonableness is based on competition.
And then you document that in your source selection evaluation board report.
Yes.
And what else do you have to document? Well, everything else you evaluate. So past performance, if you're evaluating that, I think that's something that's usually required that is part of a source selection, is that you do some assessment of past performance. The big part is usually the technical part of the evaluation. This is where usually most of the proposal pages are, and there's factors and sub-factors to those. So the technical part of the source selection evaluation board report can be quite thick. This is where usually the decision is made in more complex source selections where price is less of a factor. So in the technical evaluation part of the report, of the documentation, there's usually a section by offer that walks through every single factor and sub-factor and talks about the strengths and weaknesses, and then at the end wraps all that up into why those strengths and weaknesses equal whatever color rating they've given it or whatever number rating they've given the overall proposal.
And keep in mind that FAR specifically says the source selection records shall include, there's a list of all kinds of stuff, right? And it's things like a summary and a matrix of quantitative ranking, along with appropriate summary narrative, et cetera. So what they're saying is you got to document. They're telling you what you got to put in there. And then there's the small business subcontracting evaluation, which, again, that's if it's a large, if it's a full and open, it's not a small business set aside. But they're talking about this is the stuff they specifically tell you got to put in there.
Yeah, in a simple source selection, if it's like just pass fail, it's pretty easy to say this is why it passed or it failed. But if you're getting into the trade-off kind of stuff where you're saying that this part is more important than this part, you have to explain why you think this part is more important than that part, right? It's got to be supported.
And this is a great example of when the language you use in the RFP gets really difficult to navigate at this point. So if you say things like, we're going to give you extra, or I'll say an acceptable approach will be one that meets the schedule. A better than average schedule will get you additional points in the evaluation. Say something average like that. It's like, well, what does better mean?
Right.
So now here you are trying to evaluate that, and you're like, okay, well, this one's 2 days faster. Is that better? Well, this one's 5 days faster. Is that much better? And so see what I mean? It's like the
lack of be subjective, right? It's supposed to be. But you have to be able to support that subjectivity. And if you didn't write the good criteria in the RFP to start with, it's really hard to support what you wrote about.
Right. And you're right. It's the Goldilocks theory of you want to be specific enough, but not so specific that you're basically
you
writing
just right.
Exactly. And then what's really fun is it says the source selection authority may reject all proposals received in response to solicitation if it's in the best interest of the government. It's actually in the FAR. Yeah. So understand that if the source selection authority doesn't like the overall evaluation and doesn't like the proposals, they can reject them all. Now, I've never heard anybody ever doing that. I can't imagine why you ever would, but it's amazing the gems you find in the FAR.
Oh, I'm sure it happens. And you better document why.
Yes, they would.
So at some point, we usually talk about the acquisition time zones. Where are we at in the process? So we're talking about actually in the source selection zone. This is part of the source selection process. So it makes sense that this is the zone four. This is the last zone before award. Documentation of the evaluation results is very important because this is where the government collects the rationale that's going to be used to make a decision. It's not the rationale itself, because that's the source selection decision document, the thing that the source selection authority writes that says, this is why I chose this. But this is the support for that rationale. This is all the, this guy is rated yellow, this guy is rated blue, this one's red. It gives the source selection authority the information they need to make a decision.
And it often feels like a doctoral dissertation because it can be a huge document with lots of references back and forth and tabs and references to the parts of the solicitation. And it gets
so if you ever wonder why big source elections take so long, it's because they're writing a dissertation at the end to support the decision, just in case there's a protest and they need to have all the support in the world.
And also because it all has to be correct. I mean, lawyers are looking at it. Their peer reviews are looking at it.
They're going to do it anyway. You're right. Whether or not they think there's going to be a protest, they're still going to document things. It's their job. Contracting officer's jobs.
And it gets emphasize the fact that to do this right takes a while. So when you are wondering what's going on, it's making sure all the tabs match. Because once it's done, it's got to be done forever.
Right. So we're sort of already talking about the government side. Why should the government care about this thing so much? You know, this is the support for your decision. You're building the case for the decision that's going to be made. So do it well. And be ready for it to be shared. This stuff doesn't just go in a file and disappear. If for some reason there's a protest, well, a lot of lawyers will get to read it. And they know how to read these things and find the flaws in your logic and find where you didn't follow your process. Because that's the real problem in protests, is when you say you were going to do something and you didn't do it that way. I got to give kudos to NASA here. Recently, there was a NASA program that was protested. And I guess they must have gotten fed up with all the flack they were getting about the program, because in response to the protest, they posted the entire Source Selection Evaluation Board report to the world. So not only – usually, the reason I'm saying this is so groundbreaking, at least to me, usually you tell someone who lost, you tell them this is what – the winner scored. This is you compared to the winner, therefore this is why you lost. But you don't learn anything about the other offers. NASA just posted the whole document. It was incredibly well written. It did an amazing job of supporting the decision that they made. But it's a really long document, and it showed the goods and the bads about everybody that played.
And this is context. You know, we talk about how you have to fill the belief gap, right? And this is a great example of, and we've talked before about one of the best ways to run a debriefing is to give them the source selection evaluate their portion of the SSCB report.
Right.
Well, in this case, NASA gave everybody the whole thing.
Yeah.
And for, you think about that, not even giving it to just the interested parties. I mean, they gave it to everybody.
Right.
And so they showed, you know, they kind of set the precedent of, hey, we're going to share everything. And so it's interesting that that I wonder if that will be a precedent setting event.
I don't think so, but I think it will help convince industry that the government does do a thorough job. Maybe it cuts down on protests because they know the government does it that well, right?
Yeah, and it's the cynical, the Hanlon's razor thing of, you know, people are assuming that you can't possibly be doing it right. So this should kind of assuage some of that. But my real takeaway from this whole thing, even when you and I have talked about this a few times, is that you want fewer protests, write a really good SSCB report and share it.
Yep.
And whether you share it on FBO or you just give it to you email it to people when they lost, it's going to save.
Yeah, they're not going to protest if they understand why the decision was made. So that's back to documenting it. And we talked about this before when we were talking about JNAs. The fact that your sole source justification can be published for the world to see, it's not just hidden away in a file for government use only.
Yep.
That means that there's a lot more rigor in the writing of those documents. And the same with the Source Selection Evaluation Board report. If you know that it's going to be shared, it's going to be much more thorough. It's going to be a better document. And that's a good thing for everybody on both sides. Speaking of both sides, like that move there. Woo.
Well done, sir.
The industry side, of course they care about this. If you get a copy of the Source Selection Evaluation Board report, whether it's the whole report that you learn about all the offers, strengths, and weaknesses, or more likely, it's just your portion of the report that tells you about your strengths and weaknesses. It's important to ask for that at the end of a source selection, win or lose, because you will learn exactly why you won or lost, and it'll help you write better proposals in the future.
Yeah, it's chock-a-block with lessons. I mean, it's kind of an ideal. I mean, and we talk about this, that this kind of stuff doesn't really happen for the most part in the private sector. And so, like, you know, we have a target company we've been going after. We did some work for them, and then, you know, they decide, well, you know, we don't really need, this is like a year ago, we don't really need as much of your help, right? And they asked us to bid on something for another big project that's coming up a year later. Whether or not they pick us, I'm going to have no feedback whatsoever.
Right.
Imagine how useful it'd be to be able to get I don't necessarily want that thing posted for the world to see. Right. That's a whole other issue.
Right.
But I mean, it's so different. And so to not take advantage of this is huge. And so from the contracting officer's perspective, understand the value that people, they know this is something that's unique to government market. They know it has value to them. They're going to be looking for it. And so get ahead of this, give them a really good document, and then just give it to them. And you're going to get better companies because
you're going to get better proposals in the future, right? I mean, if you tell them exactly what they did right and wrong, hopefully they'll stop making those same mistakes. They'll give you better content in the future. And it's proof that you followed your process. And the more the industry sees that, the more they'll understand what you're doing and the less industry will protest out of ignorance or fear, right? Even if they're pissed off, and they think that it wasn't fair, they may question protesting it if they're used to seeing how thorough the government is in documenting their decisions.
Yeah, well said.
To wrap this all up, the Source Selection Evaluation Board report is a huge, well, sometimes a huge document, but it is the documentation of all of the evaluation results of the source selection. And no matter what it's called, it could be SSEB report, could be what you said, TEB. I'm sure every agency has a different way of referring to this, but this is the documentation of the evaluation. This is how the government keeps a permanent record of how they evaluated the proposals in a source selection. And remember, all of that documentation has to align with the RFP. They have to show that they evaluated as they said they were going to in the RFP and came out with the correct winner according to the rules that they set up. I kind of danced around that one, didn't I?
That's fine. And so, and it's funny, we mentioned that it's the SSCB or the TEB. If you have different names for them, you know, feel free to and chime in on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook when we post this podcast and let us know, because that's those are the names.
That's how we learn.
That's right. And we also have the Government Contract Network group on Facebook, which is actually starting to grow. It's pretty cool. And, you know, send your topics to Paul, at contractingofficerpodcast.com.
We've gotten so many lately. That's people have really started chiming in with what they want to hear about.
Yeah, that in fact, subcontracting is becoming a popular one too. And if you need help with the government market, go to skywayacq.com and we help you know more, do more, and win more. And we'd love to hear from you.
All right, Kevin. I'll talk to you later.
See you, Paul.
That's it for today's episode of the Contracting Officer Podcast. As always, if you have questions, comments, or complaints, send me an email at paul@contractingofficerpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us.